Let's hear from the Word of God how the birth of Jesus came about. From Matthew chapter 1, and I'm beginning to read verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. We thank God for his word. I'd like to read you some words from the letter of 1 John in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4 and reading verses 12 to 16. John was one of the eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus when he came into this world. John was one of the disciples, the 12 disciples. And this is what he says in 1 John 4 verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. The Apostle John says this, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. The things we know about the first Christmas, we know because people have written them down for us. People who were eyewitnesses. John says, we have seen. John was one of those who saw Jesus. He touched Jesus. He spoke with Jesus. He listened to Jesus' words. The Lord Jesus lived with him. There were 3 years, particularly, in which John knew Jesus very, very well. He came to know certain things about Jesus, and then he came to testify of those things. He wrote them down for us. How is it that we can believe these things? Well, it's because we have eyewitnesses like John, who says, I saw these things, and I'm telling you what it all means. Now, the message of Christmas has to be a message that is for everyone. Do you remember when the angels came and appeared to the shepherds? They said that they had brought good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. And so the message of Christmas has to be for everyone, not just for those who happen to be very happy today. It also has to be for those who are sad today, not just for the young. We often hear that Christmas is just for the children. That's not true. Christmas is a wonderful time for children. And we all remember being children. We all remember the excitement of it and the happiness and the special things that happen around Christmas time. And we love to see that. But Christmas is not just for children. It's for older people as well, whatever our age. Christmas has to be for us when we are grieving. There are at least three families in our church who are grieving the loss of loved ones this Christmas time. What has the message of Christmas got to say to them? They can't be happy. They can't be falsely jolly, because in their hearts there's pain and sadness and grief and separation. So the message of Christmas has to be for them if it is for everybody. And this is the message of Christmas. John tells us, verse 14 of 1 John 4, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's the message of Christmas. The Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. When you think of the world, you can sometimes think of the Earth. Right now, up there in the International Space Station, Tim Peake is up there looking down on the world. And he says that it is an incredible sight. And he looks the other way and he sees the blackness of space. And it makes him all the more aware of the smallness of the world. And yet it's our home and it's a beautiful place. Sometimes when you think of the world, these days in our generations, we can think of the picture that we have in our mind of the world, the earth, there in space with the blackness of space around it, but the beauty of our blue planet. Sometimes when we think of the word world, we mean all the people, the world of men and women, all the nations of the world, the world powers, the political universe, the political world. But John is not speaking about that. When he speaks about the world, he's not talking about the environment, he's not talking about the planet, he's not talking about politics or world nations. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about all the people in the world. He's talking about the individuals who live in this world, in every single generation. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world of men and women, individuals that make up this world, young and old, wise and foolish, happy and sad, all the people of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. When you think of the word Savior, what do you think of? Savior, someone who is a great leader perhaps, who can lead a nation and avert disaster and lead people in the right way. Or perhaps you think of someone who's a great teacher, able to educate and to save us from our ignorance and to bring us into some sort of knowledge of the truth. But no, that's not what John means here. When the Bible uses the word Savior, it means quite simply a rescuer, someone who came to rescue us. So what sort of a Savior is Jesus? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What sort of a Savior is Jesus? Well, we don't have to guess. The shepherds were told. The very first message of Christmas was to the shepherds there in the fields. And the angel said, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Joseph was also told in a dream. He was thinking of divorcing Mary quietly, not going ahead with the marriage, breaking off that betrothal, which was a legal agreement between them. He was thinking of doing that. His heart was full of sadness. He couldn't understand how it was that his beloved Mary had ended up becoming pregnant. He only assumed that there must have been another man involved. He was ignorant of the truth that the Holy Spirit had brought about the conception of Christ in the womb of Mary, until he had a dream. And then going to bed that night with the full intention the next day of arranging the divorce, that night he had a dream. And in the dream, an angel came to him and said, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's the sort of Savior that Jesus is. He is a Savior who saves his people from their sins. So let's dig a little bit deeper in a few minutes this morning. The Father has sent the Son. It was something that was planned. It was something that was purposed. The Father sent the Son. It wasn't accidental. It wasn't just one of those things that happened. It wasn't that Jesus was an ordinary person who grew up and then became an amazing man. No, he always was. He was sent to be that. He was always planned and purposed. The Father sent him, and the Son said, I will go. And he sent him first into the womb of Mary. And then from the womb of Mary, he entered the world, just as you and I did. He was born in the normal way. There was nothing unusual about his birth other than the surroundings. He was born in a mean and poor place. He had to be laid in a manger, in a cattle feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. But he was born in the normal way. And then he came into this world like that. But he wasn't normal. He wasn't ordinary. He was someone very different. Because this child is God with us. Joseph was also told he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is God and man in one person. Not confused, but in one person there is both God and man together there. He is fully God and he is fully man. And he came to reveal God to us in a way that had never been done before. But then he came in order to die on the cross of Calvary. He was born specifically to die. In his life he revealed God. In his life he taught. In his life he told us all about God and us, sin, heaven, hell, life, death, beginning, the end, everything. But he was born to die. He was punished on that cross of Calvary for crimes he had not committed. He was given his life as a ransom for many. He bore the sins of his people. He turned aside the wrath of God against sins. He fully satisfied the justice of God. God demanded that the soul that sinned should die. And Jesus said, I will take that punishment myself. And he did. Then he rose again on the third day. And he proved that his sacrifice had been acceptable to God. And that God had been satisfied. Sin had been dealt with by him for all of his people. He appeared to chosen men over a period of 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven, where he is crowned king. And he is now able to save all who call on him. That's how God saves. That's how Jesus is a savior. But what do we need to be saved from? Well, something very serious had to warrant such a great plan. Something so serious that God sent his only Son, who he had been with in eternity. From before the creation of the world, Jesus, the Son, had been with the Father. But at this particular point, he said, you've got to go into this world and you've got to do this work of saving. Must be something very serious to cause the Son of God to leave heaven, to take on himself a human body, which he still has in heaven, and to come into this world. Sin. He will save his people from their sins. Jesus saves us from the consequences of our sins. The soul that sins will surely die. There is a separation between us and God because of our sins. One day that separation will be forever and ever and ever if our sins are not dealt with, if we are not saved. Jesus saves us from the consequences of our sin, your sin and my sin. Jesus also saves us from the guilt of our sins, because sin makes us guilty. It makes us accountable to God. There is a sentence that hangs over us that we will be punished for our sins. Hell is a real place, as heaven is a real place. Hell is a place of punishment for sin, and we all deserve that. We're all on our way there. But we need forgiveness. We need grace. We need to be pronounced not guilty. That's what brought Jesus from heaven to earth, so that you and I could be pronounced not guilty, that we could be forgiven, that we could be justified. And one day that we can be taken to a place where there is no sin. There is nothing that hinders, nothing that harms, nothing that spoils. A place where there is pure fellowship. A place where there is sinless purity. A place called heaven. That is what it means for Jesus to be a saviour. And that is something that is for everyone. Because who does Jesus save? Well, Joseph was told he will save his people from their sin. Who are his people? It's not the Jews, you know. Some people say, well, his people are the Jews. It's not the Jews. Jesus does save Jews, and there are many of them who will be saved. But they are not Jesus' people. Because he came to his own, and his own received him not. But, says John, as many as believed in him, they are given the right to become the sons of God. So his people are all people who believe and trust in him. He calls them his sheep. My sheep hear my voice and follow me, he says. These people are brought into a relationship with God through Jesus. They come to know him. And as John says in this short passage I read to you, God comes to live with us and we with him. That's what it means to be saved. It means to become one of Jesus' people. No one begins life as one of Jesus' people. No one. None of us are born Christians. Not a single one of us. We have to become a Christian. And you become a Christian by being saved by Jesus, by believing on his name, by trusting in him, by knowing him to be the saviour of your soul. And so that's the message this morning. John says, we have seen and testify, so we can believe it. You can believe John, you can believe all the other apostles. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. He's the only one, the only way through which we, people in this world, may be saved from our sins and come to know God. And he is able to save you completely if you come to God through him. May God bless this day to you, and may the message of Christmas remain in your mind and heart, not only today, but over the next few days and weeks, months and years, I trust, until that day when, having believed and trusted in Jesus for yourself, you will go to be with him forever.